Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is a pre-recorded show from our lesson on the butterfly effect. Enjoy. Circles of Prosperity. I'm Cynthia Johnson, and I'm here with Dr. Reggie Johnson, and we're your hosts this morning for this beautiful, awesome morning devotion and our continued study of spiritual partnership, the journey to authentic power. Not fake power, but authentic power. Good morning, Dr. Reggie. How are you?
Good morning, Cynthia. I feel great. How are you?
I'm fine. Where are you? I don't see you.
Went to another room.
Oh, okay. Wow. Well, today we're going to be talking about the butterfly effect. If you noticed in my episodes on Blog Talk Radio, I called it Becoming a Magician. And,
wow.
I know. And really, we're going to focus on a couple of things today. One is our intention and how that works and how we can deliberately create the reality that we want to experience. But we have to take responsibility first. So, Dr. Reggie, can you take us into our morning prayer?
Yes.
And get us all aligned and bless us this morning.
Heavenly Father and Mother God and Goddess, creator and birther of all of us and the universe, we stand in awe of your power, and we stand in awe of your love and gentle kindness and patience. Let us stand in the power of that energy and become just as loving and just as powerful because you work in us and through us and even as us. Let us take this lesson and move forward with this lesson in peace and in love and in power. Let's not forget who we are and where we came from. We're not of this world, but we are here because we have lessons to learn and to grow and to ascend and evolve into the highest consciousness there is. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. Thank you so much, Dr. Reggie. I also, you know, every morning I have a little spiel. I say I introduce myself, I introduce Dr. Reggie, and I guess that script has been in my head for so long, but I need to modify the script because we have a wonderful addition to our team, and that's Gloria Wells. And Gloria is the moderator of our chat room, so she is also a co-host. And so I just want to acknowledge her. She does a wonderful job. You know, you guys, even if you're at home and maybe you're listening in on the internet, move into our chat room and spend some time with Gloria or just monitor the thread because she usually picks up some of the key points in the lesson and she puts her little spin on it and everything. But she's a wonderful addition and we love her tremendously and that she volunteered to do this. So thank you, Gloria, and we love you. And I don't mean to leave you out and I plan on practicing my new script, okay? All right, so let's get started this morning. First of all, if you read Chapter 4, The Butterfly Effect, and it had a major impact on you, I need you to press 1 on your telephone keypad. I'm having trouble getting into the chat room this morning, but if you have a question, put it in the chat room, and somehow maybe during the course of the program, my chat room will come up, but it's just kind of flashing. But I want to hear from you because This is about discussion. It's about learning. If we don't share, then we can't learn. I want to inspire you and get your day going, but I'm not the only teacher here. You guys are all teachers too, because guess what? Bottom line is that we're all students. Isn't that right, Dr. Reggie? Well, I don't have his mic on.
Absolutely. Absolutely we are.
Exactly.
Your learning never stops.
The learning never stops, and so sharing is important. And I'm encouraging you to share. Don't be afraid, okay? Don't be scared. Just press 1 and join in on the fun. All right, so let's get started with the butterfly effect and kind of figure out why he's calling it the butterfly effect. He says, you are not as invisible or powerless as you think. Bam! Right on, he's telling you you're something special. First sentence. You know, I love this guy. He says, you do not need to create wealth. You do not need to create recognition or admiration or praise to influence the world around you. Whoa! He's telling you you have power without doing all of this external stuff to influence the world. You have the power to influence the world. Breathe, breathe. In the early 1960s, a research meteorologist at MIT who had created a computer program to model the weather was in a hurry to reprint the results of a simulation he had already run. And so to speed the process, he entered only the first 3 digits of the original 6 that he had used to define each initial condition in the simulation. For example, he rounded off 0.506127 to just 0.506. And when the printout arrived, it was entirely different from the original. At first, he thought his computer had malfunctioned, and then he remembered his changes. He did not suspect that such minor variances could affect the results, much less change them dramatically. But he was mistaken. His changes made a huge difference. In fact, the computer predicted entirely different weather conditions. So this sensitive dependence on initial conditions, write that word down, that phrase, initial conditions. The dependence on initial conditions has come to be called the butterfly effect, because the large magnitude of the change in predicted weather in relation to the minute variances in initial conditions is poetically analogous to a butterfly changing the weather on the other side of the world by moving its wings. The butterfly effect. It's a helpful metaphor for your enormous creative capacity. Most people think of themselves as without influence, except in their immediate circumstances. And even there, they often feel powerless. Oh, if I had money, or if I were an actor, or if I were a billionaire, or if I were a sports hero, or ooh, if I was gorgeous, if I was brilliant. Wow. If I was all of those things or any of those things, I would have influence. If I had a yacht or a mountain bike or shoes I saw on sale, people would listen when I speak. Or at least some of them would notice me. And Gary Zukav defines this as the pursuit of external power. If I were this or that. And every time you say, if I were, you're saying, I am powerless. If I had, I am powerless. Your decisions are continually creating a new initial condition. And the weather that those varying conditions are continually changing is your experience. Small decisions in the moment turn out to be not so small in retrospect. Saying yes instead of no changes your experience. Pushing people away instead of inviting them to come close changes your experience. Acting in anger, for example, even when you feel righteous or justified, pushes people away. And then you're left feeling lonely because your anger just pushed people away. And then you become angry again. And again, you push people away without thinking about what acting on your anger is creating. It is making big changes in the weather. So what he's saying is that the choices that you make not only affect you, but they affect the people around you. It affects all of the conditions that you are attracting to you. In effect, it is creating your experience. Judging people also pushes them away, even if you do not express your judgments. So you may judge someone as incompetent, for example, or unattractive and inept or self-centered, and your judgment will push him away whether or not you express it. You may address him politely. You may smile. You may even express a false appreciation, but he will feel your judgment. He may not realize that you are pushing him away, but he will feel a disconnect between your display of appreciation and his experience of not being appreciated. He may simply find himself avoiding you when he can. Your concern for the well-being of others will attract them to you, whether or not you express it. And when you act on their behalf, they feel supported or comforted. Even if you do not smile or ingratiate yourself, you also can sense when someone who appears gruff is kind and when someone who appears kind is not to be trusted. And guess what this is? These are multi-sensory perceptions. And you know, from time to time, I've given you the example when you walk into a room, and this has happened a lot. There's a group of people sitting in a meeting, to happen to me, and I'm late coming to the meeting, and I walk in, and I can feel the judgment because I'm late. They didn't have to say a word. You ever had that feeling where the room is just thick? Because you feel, you may not even be able to define it other than, you felt the energy was thick. Multisensory perception. And we neglect that power. We're not aware of it, and that's our power. He talks about being on a camping trip and being within darkness, engulfed in the forest, and leaving his tent. It became very hazardous because there were small stones that were easy to turn an ankle on, and larger boulders easy to smash a toe into, and fallen branches easy to trip over and lay around it. But when dawn arrived, or if I turned on a flashlight, stepping over or around them became easy. Multisensory perception is the dawn. And we didn't have flashlights before it arrived. So multisensory perception is turning the lights on, putting the light in the darkness. And now you can use your intuition to help you. Your intuition is the light. And then he tells the story of a friend who was on his way. He was in Taiwan and was catching a flight, and there was a typhoon coming. And his friend had this feeling of, I shouldn't get on this plane. But he had already checked his bags and was standing in line to board the plane when he had this feeling. And he said, oh, you know, I'm just so close, I might as well go. Well, when the plane took off, there were some complications, and the pilot lost a wing. It ran into a crane and lost a wing and caught on fire, and a lot of people were injured and killed, including his friend was injured. But his friend had an intuition not to get on the plane, and he chose to ignore it. And I'm going to tell you, every time you choose to ignore your intuition, that little gut hunch, it ends in a painful experience. Of course, this example he gives was a very dramatic, painful experience, but it ends in a painful experience. So here's an example from in my life, real simple one. A few days ago, in Georgia, we have to have an emissions test on our car, and we have to pass that emissions test when it's time to renew our tags and pay the taxes for our tags. And they assign your tag, the date for you to pay your taxes on for your tag, to renew your tag, is on your birthday. Well, my birthday is coming up in September. So a couple of days ago, I said, I better go get my emission test now, because I knew that my car would pass the emission test as long as the engine light wasn't on. And I have sense enough to know that my car is running weird right now because it's over 12 years old, and that engine light is going to come on at any point now because something weird is going on. Once the engine light comes on, I'm not going to pass emissions, and then I have to spend all of the money that I need to spend to get my car repaired to pass emissions. So I was trying not to have that extra expenditure. I ignored my intuition. 2 days later, the engine light came on. So now I have the pain of figuring out what's wrong with my car and then confronting whatever the cost is right here at the edge of me having to renew my tag. And if I don't renew my tag, that's a whole nother set of drama, which I've already been through and which you guys already know about. So I don't want to go through that. So I'm really petrified of the Georgia police at this point over a simple tag violation. But anyway, it can be extremely painful when we ignore our intuition. Dr. Reggie says that we pray to God, we talk to God. Our intuition is God answering our prayers. So God's talking to us through our intuition, and we choose to ignore it. And then we have to deal with the consequences of ignoring it. It's not punishment, but in a way it is. It's just cause and effect. It's the way the system is set up. And we should learn from those experiences. That's the whole purpose. Learn to trust your intuition. Where did I leave off here? Okay. So he says you have probably had similar experiences. If you have a hunch to remain at home, for example, and then you leave anyway and then you slip on the ice and you will regret not paying attention to your hunch, just as my friend regretted not paying attention to his. Everyone has had that experience of saying, I knew I shouldn't have done that. I knew I shouldn't have done that. Oh, my goodness. No empirical pre-flight investigation could have revealed that the pilot was more likely to mistake a runway under construction for an active runway on that particular stormy night, only that the probability for error was increased. In the same way, no pre-departure investigation could have revealed that you were more likely to slip on ice that day than on any other icy days, only that the probability of a slip has increased. So, however, these are not issues of probability. My friend, and he put this word in italics, my friend knew that he shouldn't board. And you have probably had the same experience of knowing that you should not do what you were considering. And you did it anyway. I knew that I should have gone to take my car to get his emissions test, but I ignored it anyway. So, he says to you here, if you have a hunch, for example, not to bring up a certain subject with a friend because it will cause reactions in her, such as anger and jealousy or fear, but you bring it up anyway, and you ruin the opportunity to co-create with her that day, you know that you have avoided the consequences. This is another way of saying that you know you could have created differently. You could have chosen differently, and different consequences would have followed. If my friend had chosen differently at the Taiwan airport, he would still be enjoying the athletic, pain-free body that he had. And here this next paragraph sums up the entire lesson today, or at least a significant portion of it. Please open your ears and hear. Multisensory perception puts the butterfly effect, your choices, and your creative power into a new context. Because instead of thinking of yourself, instead of experiencing yourself as an insignificant, invisible, powerless individual struggling with a random or cruel world, you become aware of a different possibility. Because guess what? You are a powerful, creative, compassionate, and loving spirit acting like an insignificant, invisible, powerless individual in the process, creating powerful or painful experiences with your anger, with your jealousy and rage and fear and vengefulness. Because you need to please, or you need to dominate, or you need to experience superiority or inferiority, and obsessive, compulsive, and addictive behaviors that prevent you from this larger and healthier experience of yourself. And you create even more painful experiences because your choices do not go unnoticed any more than the movement of the butterfly's wing that went unnoticed, so to speak. And so on the other side of the world, on a sunny day turned gray or a violent storm is calmed, your choices have power because you are powerful. I love how he says that. Man, when I read that, I jumped out of my chair and said, hallelujah. Thank you. Because, listen, I was there. Oh, my God, in my 20s, I was a mess. I thought nobody liked me. Nobody loved me. I was miserable. I had no influence. I was powerless. I was miserable. I was powerless. I was miserable. Not good enough, not smart enough, not pretty enough. I'm being honest. I don't know if you can be honest with yourself, but I'm being honest about my stuff. And really, if you want to change your life, you need to be honest about your stuff. And here's what he is saying. He's saying, you're walking around thinking that you're insignificant. You're walking around thinking that you're invisible. You're walking around thinking that you are powerless and that you're just struggling against this cruel world. But in reality, you are a powerful, creative, compassionate, and loving spirit, but you're just acting like you're insignificant. You're acting like you are powerless. The truth is, you are extremely powerful. Wow. He says the butterfly effect. Let's go to the second part of this chapter now. He's going to deal with intention. The butterfly effect refers to the influence of physical causes on small phenomena. So he's saying physical causes equals a small scale, but the physical phenomena, the effect, is on a large scale. But it illustrates the dramatic importance of initial conditions that are so small that they can be easily overlooked. So multi-perception expands the awareness beyond the physical causes to non-physical causes. It reveals realms to explore and use. For example, it allows you to experiment with the non-physical initial conditions in your life that are so easy to overlook that you may have not even considered them. But they are actually have huge importance. And guess what? That is your intention. What are your intentions? Your intentions determine your experiences, whether or not you are aware of them. When you are not aware of them, the consequences they create will surprise you, and they will be painful. And see, a lot of people that are into the law of attraction, and they go, oh, that crap doesn't work. I'm not able to manifest what I want. The problem is because they are not clear in their intention. And intention hides, because if you still are harboring resentment and anger, that blocks your manifestation process. That blocks your miracle. That blocks your healing. If you're going to the doctor every day and taking your medicine every day, but you don't believe any of it's going to work, somewhere deep inside of you, you don't trust that you're going to get better, you won't. What is the intention? Is the intention to stay sick? Are you afraid of getting wet? What is underlying? And here's where he goes. He says intention means different things to five sensory individuals than it does to multi-sensory individuals. Five sensory individuals think of intentions in terms of, to get a job or... But a multisensory individual goes deeper, and they ask, why do I intend to get a new job? So one of the reasons might be, to make more money. And other reasons might be, to have more prestige, or to work closer to home, or to have a greater sense of meaning. And a multisensory person will continue to ask until they find the real reason. Their quest for the deepest why leads them to their actual intention, meaning their manifestation. And I love this example that he gives. He says, for example, a parent may intend to make more money in order to send her child to college, but beneath this intention lies a deeper intention. One parent may intend to send her child to college because she feels obligated. Her family expects it, or her neighbor's children are going to college. But another may intend to expose her child to languages and cultures and disciplines that will stimulate her creativity and passion. But these are different intentions, aren't they? And they will create different consequences. Because the why beneath the why, and sometimes the why even beneath that, is the intention that creates consequences. That is the why that determines the experiences of your life. You got to look for your hidden agenda. What is your hidden agenda? Breathe. And then he goes on to expand on his example of sending a child to college. He says the parent who sends her child to college to make her, meaning the parent, feel better about herself or as good as her neighbors or to avoid a family disapproval about her. The parent who supports her child and the gift of education is concerned about her child. And what's the difference? One is taking and the other is giving. One is motivated by fear and the other is motivated by love. So both parents set into motion the universal law of cause and effect and the universal law of attraction. And therefore, they create different consequences in their different intentions. And I just love that example because I have acquaintances that I know are doing things because they think that they should do them because they are concerned with how people will judge them. It makes them feel, you know, important to be doing certain things. Motivation, completely different. That's fear. And that's seeking external power. Are you guys getting the message here? Anybody ready to talk to me this morning? Press 1 on your telephone keypad. I want to hear what you guys have to say about this. Good morning, 0149. You're on the air.
Good morning. I've been listening, and I do believe what you're saying about multi-level dimensional manifestations, but I do have some opinions in regard to how we evolve. I mean, it brings your energy down as well as it brings mine down to dwell in the past, because when we were in our 20s, both you and me, Gloria, and I'm Lori, by the way, We kind of had to get that out of our system so that we could be at the place where we're at now. And we want to spare people, the young people, but they have to go through their own kind of evolution. So what I've learned over time is to not to dwell on what I did in the past, because that brings the vibration down. And I've learned to just live in the moment that I can control, which is right here, right now. And if you talk about, or me, if I talk about reality, like I'm going to go to the store. I put things in, everything is real, everything's happening to me right now. Go ahead.
Living in the moment by moment.
Yes. And Reggie, oh, Dr. Reggie, you've spoken to me before. You've got wonderful energy and a wonderful voice. Thank you, sir. I'm a writer who's been hacked, and you told me that things were going to get better. There was the two Reggies on the show.
Right, Reginald Lewis.
Mm-hmm. Yes, 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 yes. And I want to know your feelings. I mean, how do you resonate with what I feel? And nobody's right or wrong, because it's just a matter of perception.
I think you're right. You're absolutely right, because everything from birth until the end of life is a learning process. Everybody, yeah. since we are born individually, have individuated perceptions and feelings and knowledge. It is a growing process for everybody. Learning to steer younger people in the so-called right direction may be the right direction for you, but not for them. So you're right. They have to learn their own experience. So experientially, I can't learn for them. They have to learn it themselves. Right. And it is a growth process. They evolve when they learn. And it's good. It's painful sometimes when they make mistakes, but it's their pain and it's also their consequential energy, and they learn from it. And they grow from it, and then they're more experienced by it and more helpful by it and more beneficial by it, the whole world. So it's a good thing that you're saying that. It is true. We go through things in our 20s and think we own the world, and we're teenagers, we know everything, and start to get after 30, go, uh-oh, what's going on? And 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, you keep learning. You're always learning something else. There's always more wisdom and always things to learn in yourself. And God is always expressing through you in those times as you evolve. Correct. Absolutely.
Are you
what
still
do you see? I'm sorry, Gloria.
I'm Cynthia, by the way. Are you still there?
Because am I what?
Checking to see if you're still on the line. It seemed as though you had cut off. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I hear you fine, and I hear Dr. Reggie fine. I'm fine. I was just going to say if Dr. Reggie saw anything different for me in regard to my writing, because I feel it, and I live in the right here and now. And I am doing what I love to do, and the money is here. How's that? Everything I'm going to put is in the present tense.
Very true. Very true. The only difference is if we keep thinking that the money is out there and one day it's coming, it's going to come soon. We can't do that because, you know what, the energy of spirit doesn't know what come soon means. So
right.
If you see it now, since you live in the here and now, you have to say, I'm grateful right now for the abundance that God has provided for me. I'm open and receiving this energy right now. And when you feel it, remember from the beginning of our lessons, in the very beginning, your feeling nature is your Geiger counter. It gets you through a lot of things. So when you feel the energy, you're magnetizing out. You send out magnetic energy out into the universe, and it brings it right back into concrete manifestation. So
that's
what a blessing.
That's a missing key.
What a major blessing. And your writing is not going to be sabotaged anymore. You're not going to ever say that again because when you express it, it becomes more real. You have to say, you know what? Everything is in divine order, and God loves me. I am individual. No one can steal from me. These are my processes and my ideas. And with that ideation, I can create anything I want to and believe any dream that I want to. It keeps me alive and hope alive, and I will press forward with my message into the world, and so it is.
Amen. I believe that. I believe that. I really do. You were on the other Dr. Reggie show, and oh my gosh, that was like a wake-up call that I really, really appreciated hearing, as is this show, Gloria.
Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful,
with Cynthia,
wonderful
with
show.
Cynthia. You say Gloria, with Cynthia.
Oh, Cynthia. I'm sorry, the little blog talk call says Gloria, so I just assumed it was Gloria. I apologize, Cynthia.
She's in our chat room. She's in our chat room. She's our chat room host, and she's wonderful.
Oh, well, thank you, both of you.
Thank you so much, Lori.
Lori,
thank you.
Have you purchased the book?
Yeah.
Have you purchased the book, Spiritual Partnership? Are you reading the book along with us?
I just heard it. You just opened the information about it. And, you know, I resonate with it because I write a lot of spiritual and meditational writing. And it's like, wow, that's not the way I've worded it, but it's almost the same concept. But, of course, with more detail, but that's what a lot it's the concept. I've been writing about the concept in a different way with different verbiage, so it's just expanded my learning.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah. All right, let's go to our next caller. Thank you so much, Lori. Good morning, 1283, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning. Good morning, it's Gloria. I wasn't sure if you could see in the chat room. You said earlier you were having trouble seeing it. I have a question in there. We are talking about the power of intuition at the beginning of the chapter, and I was just wondering if there's any feedback on how we can increase our power of intention. What can we do, or not intention, I'm sorry, intuition. Is there anything that we can begin to do to help us increase that power? Thank you.
Yes.
Yes. You know what? Dr. Red teaches a class on intuition and your spiritual development, which the doctor just talked about.
It's really amazing. Cynthia, can you hear me? Your phone chops in and out.
I can hear you.
Okay, but it chops in and out. When you're talking and moving, it does that. But one thing, Gloria, I know that's very important. We, like Cynthia said earlier, when we pray, we talk to God. And when we meditate, even if you're looking at something simple, like the flame of a candle flickering, and get yourself lost in it, you start getting visions and start feeling things and start having a different kind of knowing. It gets your attention away from this world with all this busy activity and the bills and the water and the dishes and the da-da-da-da, all this crap that runs through our minds and the politics and all this stuff and the world and the economy. It gets you off of that energy, not to get you confused. And it keeps you focused absolutely on the energy of God. When you focus inside, even if you close your eyes, when you see that same candle flame and see it in your inner mind, and close your eyes and focus on the flame of it burning, what is its origin? What is it doing? The wind moving it in what direction? It takes your focus, and that's the key word. Your focus is no longer on the outer world, but on your inner world. And these visions will start to expand and expand and expand. And next thing you know, you're seeing things before they happen. You're getting motion pictures in your head and images and hunches. When you contemplate like that, God talks to you. And that is your message. And I like to write them down because a lot of times we forget. Even in dreams, we forget. Didn't you have a dream the other day and you wrote it down?
Oh, let me turn our mic on. Go ahead. Glory, you're still on.
Did you have a dream the other day and you wrote it down, right?
Absolutely, yes. Uh-huh.
And that dream was very powerful. I can't remember all the images, but I do remember some of the things. But give me a brief overview.
We don't have time to cover that today.
Okay, but I got to give her the message for it, because the message in the dream was that she's evolving right now, and that's a good thing, a good sign that you are evolving. And not to worry is another part of the dream, to know that everything is in divine order in your path. And you're in the right direction.
Okay, great. I was hoping for some feedback on that. Thank you so much, Dr. Reggie, and thank
mm-hmm.
you for addressing the intuition. That's great. The meditation is what gets that intuition going.
That's right. It does, big time.
Thank you.
All righty.
I really think it's important for you guys to continue to read if you have, and because especially when you get to page 42, 43, and 44, it closes out his lesson on intention. And the one point I want to leave with you is that using your creative power without knowing intention is like driving a car with the windshield painted black. You travel, but you don't know where. So understanding intention is very important. Maybe we'll pick this up tomorrow, because I have other information I want to share with you about the power. Dr. Reggie, can you take us into our closing prayer?
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this lesson today. Thank you for the ability beyond our human abilities, knowing who we are. We are souls with the power of clairvoyance, clairsentience, clairgustance, clairaudience, and all the other energies that extend beyond the five senses. Let us learn to trust and to listen and to obey that energy, those hunches that come from you. I'm glad you give us hunches, because you don't demand us. You don't force us, but you allow us to experience those things. Thank you for your gentle, soft, beautiful voice in us that gives us life and existence. And let us learn to listen who our Father and Mother is. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is.
Thank you
so much for joining us today. Tomorrow we're going to move. We're going to continue our discussion on intention because I think it's so important to have a clear understanding of intention. And then we'll move on to Chapter 5, which is the game. I encourage you to read that chapter as well. God bless.